I said a while ago, let's, I mean, we're small in number also. Brothers and sisters, if, and I know I've not been out a whole lot, don't get me wrong, but if you've not been out to see what's outside of here, and I'll talk about in some of our other churches, what the Lord's blessed us with here, we truly, truly need to be thankful. Mm-hmm. Truly need to be thankful. Mm-hmm. And, I feel he's still blessing us, through the years. You know, since I've been here, I started coming in 04, and I'm going to ramble just for a minute. I've been coming since 04, and I think we joined in 05. But even since I've been coming, we've numbers went up just a little. They went down a little, went up a little, went down a little. Now, we've talked about this a little bit in the last few weeks. My opinion is, I don't know this for a fact, but this is just my opinion. I believe when the Lord's people meet in spirit and in truth, and above all, it's their desire. And I'm not bold enough and not naive enough to think that that's what my heart is every Sunday, but I believe, generally speaking, I don't believe that there's ever going to be great big old vast numbers. I may be wrong, but whatever it is, if it's 10, 15, 25, let us be thankful. Mm-hmm. Let us be thankful and rejoice. Mm-hmm. Again, pray for one another. Pray for one another. Would there be any others? If not, would you bow your head with me? Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we bow one more time in thy holy presence. Lord, we thank you so much. So much for your goodness to us. Lord, we know we're such a spirit and such an undeserving group of people, Lord, but your mercy, your grace, you're so good to us. Lord, you pass over our shortcomings, Lord, our faults. Lord, and it's said so many times that we come here, Lord, and you give us that spiritual nourishment, Lord. Sometimes we feel like we feast when we come into thy house. But Lord, it ain't so long that we're shortly removed from here, Lord. We seem to take ourselves away from it. Lord, we just pray for that ever-increasing desire, Lord, the desire that you, we know it comes from you, Lord, but that it would increase, Lord, and that our appetites for your spirit would grow. And Lord, that we would truly hunger for your word. Lord, we pray just now for these requests that have been lifted up here this morning. Lord, those with heavy hearts. Lord, those that are facing sickness, maybe uncertain. Lord, you know whatever the need may be. Those unspoken requests. Lord, those the folks in the nursing homes. Lord, you know the needs of thy people wherever they are. And Lord, we just pray that you would touch them, that you'd make your presence known to them in a special way, Lord. And Lord, we just pray these things with the forgiveness of our exceeding sinfulness. In thy holy name we do pray. Amen. Amen. For just a few minutes, if you turn to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6, I had something happen to me this morning, so you pray for me. It's in the same passage of Scripture, but I thought I was going to try to bring a thought or a couple of thoughts on one particular thing. And as I was driving down the road, I had this one thought on my mind for a couple of days. And as I was driving down the road, coming to church this morning, the Lord, I trust it was the Lord, he hit me with something else. Again, in the same passage of Scripture. And again, it's very, very familiar Scripture. But have you ever, I'm sure you have, thought you knew something, and you would say you knew it. You would say you knew it. And in one sense, you do know it. But then the Lord brings it to you, and you're like, did I really know it, or did I really believe that? You know, sometimes we do deceive ourselves into saying we believe something or saying we know something. And I mean, in one way we do, but a lot of times I guess I like to say it's like an onion. A lot of times there's a lot of different layers to it. And the Lord showed me a little bit different layer, and in doing so, I thought the same thing. Have you ever And again, I'm sure you have. You know, the Lord bless you. At the same time, He blesses you. You feel more than a snake's belly. You know, you see your unworthiness, and you see where you've not told the line, so to speak. But anyway, my thought was, and I may touch just a little bit on what the first thought I had. I think we're going to, well, it all goes hand in hand. Against the revelation, it all works together. But do you know that when the Lord quickened you, quickened us, when I say you, I'm talking about me too. I'm just as individuals. When the Lord quickened you, made us alive, we all know we had no part to do with that. But from that point, when the Lord brings us to the truth of His Word, we do have a choice in that.
Yeah.
Are we going to be obedient or are we going to be disobedient? And that's for all of us, every one of us. You know, there's one place in the Scripture, I didn't look it up, and it just came to my mind, but it says, and I don't think I'm taking it out of context, if I am, forgive me, but once the Lord brings us to the truth of His Word, we're without excuse,
yes,
brothers and sisters. We're without excuse. I'm really good at making them. I'm really good at making them. But we have no leg to stand on. We're without excuse. So in this letter here, and again, familiar, Brother Paul, through the Holy Ghost, is charging Timothy to preach. And he's charging what to preach, which is the truth of the Lord's Word. So what Timothy does, or what Timothy is supposed to do, and I believe Timothy did do it in his obedience, is what Paul charged to him, he charged to the folks that he preached to.
Yes.
So, not saying that everybody is to be preachers, but folks, the things that were charged to these brethren in the New Testament was also charged to those sitting under the preaching of that word.
Yes.
The same thing was charged to them. Mm-hmm. So, keep that in mind as we read through this. Let's see, I really didn't decide where I was going to start. In this chapter 6, I'll just sort of catch us up to speed. Through this whole book, Paul is teaching or telling Timothy how an elder or those in the church should conduct themselves. And then also on the flip side, that's saying what we are to stay away from and abstain ourselves from. And through this sixth chapter, he's continuing to do so. Again, I've said it already a couple of times, but familiar scripture, we all know it. Just for a place to start, I'm going to begin reading probably in, let's begin reading verse 5. I'll probably read quite a few verses. Perverse disputings, again, verse 5, chapter 6. Perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. We'll stop here just for a minute. This, being rich doesn't necessarily have to be in money. It can be, a lot of different things. I'd like to think that to some degree it's, you know, you got a lot of what you put your stock in, so to speak. And if we put our stock in anything, say Jesus Christ and Him crucified, it's empty. It's vanity. Going on in verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have earned erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Again, I believe we've heard it here that the money here isn't just a monetary thing. It's mammon. It's anything that would take us away from the Lord. And pay attention again to what it says. When we chase after anything that takes us away, it says that we pierce ourselves through with many sorrows. We pierce ourselves through. How many times, I'll confess more times I like to admit that I've chased after, put too much time into, and still guilty, I'm sure. into a lot of things that they just sorrow, cause sorrow, cause me to take away time from what I should be putting time into. And that could be, it is blaming myself for the things that the Lord would have for me. Verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And this is what I want to, this is where I want to get to. So now, Brother Paul is telling Timothy, and he has been even prior to this, but what we need to be setting our affections on, what we need to be going for. And this is what I said earlier, Paul is charging these things to Timothy, who is the preacher. But on the flip side, exactly what we're reading is what Timothy is told to charge or command those that sit under his preaching. So, but thou, O man of God, okay, let me ramble just a little bit more. When it says, man of God, that's all of us.
Yes.
If we profess,
absolutely.
If we profess to be a follower of Christ, we are men of God.
Yes.
And we know men means male and female. We are men of God. So this is us, brothers and sisters, is talking to us. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. This eternal life, that's what I thought I was going to speak on a little bit, but we've heard a little bit about this eternal life, not just meaning life without end. If that's all it was talking about, I believe it probably wouldn't be listed in the Lord's Word as much. If it's something that we couldn't lay hold to, I don't know that it would benefit us other than just knowing it's out there. But the Lord says we can lay hold on to it. We can. It can be real to us. We can, it become a tangible thing, spiritually speaking. But before we can lay hold to that eternal life, Brother Paul just told us what we had to do. And he told Timothy what he had to do. O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. That's what we have to follow after if we want to lay hold onto eternal life. I want to skip down to, let's see. Just a second. Verse number 19. There will be those that say, this letter was just to Timothy. Paul was letting this charge to Timothy. If you come down here to, if you have a hard time seeing that, what Paul was charging to Timothy, Timothy was going to charge to those sitting under him, the hearing of his preaching. Verse number 19, concerning this laying hold of eternal life, this is what Paul is telling Timothy to preach to those that hear. Let's back up to 18. That they do good works, they being those that he's preaching to, verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, there's what we're to be rich in, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, what? Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold onto eternal life. Now that's the charge to those that are under his preaching. O Timothy, keep that which committed. Let me start again. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. So what we get, I said it once already, sometimes we think, especially if we're not the preacher that fails to stand, it's easy to get caught up and say, the preachers have their charge, and in one sense they do. But brothers and sisters, we have the same charge. If we are a man or children of God, then we are, it's a command. It's not just that we have a choice. Am I going to be obedient? Am I going to be disobedient? It's a command to walk after what verse 11 says here. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. And then let us lay hold on to that eternal life that's there for us. If we lay hold of that, when those in Scripture just told us here, it helps. It builds on top of that foundation. 19 says, against that time to come, lay up in store for themselves a good foundation for that time to come. That time to come in eternal heaven. That's not eternal heaven. We don't have to lay up nothing for that. That's taken care of. So this eternal life that we have to lay hold of, that'll go right on top of that foundation that we build up for the time to come. You know, and there's been a time in every generation, you know, it is bad now, no doubt, but every generation has had a time to come, I believe, that they've had to, you know, rest on that foundation, lay hold, or hopefully be able to lay hold on that eternal life. And I've said it here, I hope when that time comes, I hope I'm, it's like when I started, I say I could, I want to think I can, but when the time comes, can I grab a hold of it and rest in it? But it's easy to do that when everything's peachy. But when that time comes, have I built on the foundation the way I should? Has it been layered up, or is it still just a foundation with nothing on it? So let us build on that foundation and lay hold of that eternal life that the Lord has given us.
Amen. Thank you, man.